Hello and welcome to Moonwise Podcast, a space to celebrate seasons, cycles, and rites of passage. I'm your host, Dorte Sophie Royal, and today we speak with herbalist and holistic wellness facilitator Tamu Mosley about the spiritual significance of perimenopause. We discuss her experience of hosting a women's womb circle for those going through this transition and some of the common symptoms and themes that have come up. We talk about reframing the menopause process as a potent opportunity to step into our power and how she embraced her own gray hair. Tamu shares her personal insights and tips for self-care in perimenopause, including herbal allies and practices that have been supportive on the journey. We also talk about mourning the end of the childbearing years, honoring your last moon blood, stepping back from habits of caretaking, the importance of speaking our stories in community, and unapologetically sharing our gifts with the world. Tamu Mosley is an Oakland-born mama of three, a teacher, a holistic wellness facilitator, a kitchen alchemist, home herbalist, an herbal maker, and a budding flower essence practitioner. She's the founder and CEO of Holistic Shine and Uchu Botanical. She is deeply nourished by a consistent self-care practice cultivated over the past 27 years that includes preparing healthy plant-based meals, natural skincare, and herbal remedies in her kitchen healing laboratory, as well as seasonal holistic detoxes, yoga, connecting with nature, and working with flower essences. Hi, Tamu. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hi, Dorote. I'm so happy to be here and have this conversation with you.
So for those who are not familiar with your work yet, I just want to paint a picture of what I've been seeing in your work, and in particular, the energy that you bring through in your work, which is that you are a person who glows. And I can imagine with so many years of focus on healthy eating and beautiful sacred work, like that's where this glow is coming from. But if I encourage people to go check out your Instagram and see for yourself, there's a certain radiance that comes through you that I feel is certainly more than physical. And so I'm very excited to talk with you today about a particular season in a woman's life coming from you who are so beautifully rocking some silver hair in your photos and have mothered three children and are just doing amazing things in the world. So yeah, I'm really excited to chat with you.
Thank you so much. I definitely attribute my shine or my glow from about 25 years of my self-care journey and journey with food as medicine. And that initiation kind of came right along with motherhood. So that kind of marked my full awareness of the importance of self-care and healing, our ability to heal.
Oh, that's so beautiful, especially with three kiddos. It's certainly a lot of energy to be sharing and raising other people, and then to actually be able to prioritize your health as well is something that I really admire.
Yeah, I took it for granted before I became a mom, so that awareness that I have to make time for myself really came through as I stepped into motherhood.
And, you know, in this particular moment, I've had a lot of people and friends of mine as well start to look at this new phase in their lives where they're not an elder yet, but they're starting to near a phase beyond the childbearing years. It's like a 4 to 10 year process before actual menopause, which in our culture we call perimenopause. I really wish there was a different word for this whole process. And I'm just like waiting for someone. I mean, maybe it's us, I don't know, or a listener out there, like, can we name this something beautiful and sacred? Because this is a very important process.
Yes.
Yeah. And for those who maybe haven't had children, maybe they're reaching a certain achievement point in their career, or finding priorities shift or feeling new power surging through their being. And for those who have had children, it may be a time when the children are starting to leave home or really become more independent. And there's a shift in the life of a woman. So yeah, I really want to hear your perspective and experience of that time in life.
Yes. Well, I'm just exploding inside to have this conversation because, I'm so happy to be here on Moonwise because I listened to, you had Pat McCabe, Woman Stands Shining on, I don't know when the first recording was, but I listened to it a couple years ago, and then you brought it back and reminded us all that it was there. And I listened to it again. And in the interview, she did say that she mentioned this step through this corridor from motherhood into being an elder and that time, that transition, but she didn't say anything more. And I was just left hanging like, oh, can you please share the journey with us? We would love to hear that. And I'm finding that with a lot of the elders that I have listened to hear, you know, speak in person and on podcasts and their readings and their audio recordings, that many of them do not talk about this transition, this phase in between elderhood and motherhood, and when you're menstruating and that phase in between. Patricia McCabe, I've listened to Carmen Vicente, who shares so much about our moon time and working with our moon blood, and Queen Afua, who also, you know, focuses so much on women's womb work, and none of them really mention this period of time, although I did find Elder Saban Fusome does speak about this in she has this, I think it's 6-disc recording called The Woman's Wisdom from the Heart of Africa. And she does speak about this transition. And if you don't mind, I would love to just share a couple little tidbits. She shares that it's a process of wisening and a time to collect and gather our energy, a time where the energy is drawn back inside, and that turning our energy into the water of life for the whole community, and that this shift into elderhood, that we become the carriers of the water of life. And so that was a jewel that I had listened to this recording years ago, and because I wasn't in that phase, I didn't hear it, but I listened to it again more recently and kind of honed in on those jewels from her.
Well, I got full body chills when you said carrier of the waters of life. So that feels really potent. And one of my dear mentors, Susan Lipschitz, I've heard her talk about menopause as, well, she calls it regenopause, and she calls it a time when the energetic center of a woman starts to move from her womb space up into her heart space. And in doing so, like what you just read, she's stepping into her role as a mother, not just to her own family, but to the community and the world at large. So that sounds like very similar to what you're talking about there.
Yes, yes. And I remember, I don't know how long ago, maybe about 6 years ago, I went to the gynecologist for my annual exam. And I don't remember what I was mentioning to her, but then she says, well, you're probably in perimenopause. And I'm just, what is that? What is that? Because, nobody really talks about it. And, And so I went home and I'm like perimenopause. And then I learned, okay, this can last for about 10 years. And I'm like, wow, okay, so I'm in it. And then my friends, we all started having these conversations, but privately, private conversations one-on-one with each other. And I would be with one sister friend and we would have this conversation. I would be with another sister friend and we would have this conversation. And I'm just kind of like, why are we not openly talking about this as a community of women? You know, we all went through mothering together and pregnancy and talking very openly. I feel like society is very open about somewhat open about talking about, you know, pregnancy and this transition into motherhood. But this transition, you know, from motherhood into being an elder or a crone is not spoken about. So I decided, this was in January of 2021, I called a women's circle together, a BIPOC women's circle, reached out to sister friends and, we don't all know each other, but I knew all of them and invited them to come in, to create a women's circle or a womb circle that I ended up naming, Dancing the In-Between. So we could come together every month. And, you know, during this time, it was virtual because we were still, you know, in the midst of the pandemic and, just a way to connect and share what we're going through, share how our emotions are changing, share how our focus is changing, to share, you know, share out with all of our kind of wisdoms, share our the herbal allies that are supporting us, share our self-care practices that are supporting us through this time. And one of the things I had the group do is at the very beginning is to go to our mothers and ask our mothers their menopausal story and see if they have any jewels to share, because most of us didn't talk to our mothers about this transition. So that was part of our homework after our first session, was to go ask our mothers what their story was.
Amazing. That sounds so beautiful. And I'm curious if there are common themes that have come up in terms of what women are experiencing in the circle.
Oh yes. Wow. Well, on a emotional, physiological level, I would say one theme that actually wasn't really on my list of topics to cover was mourning the end of our childbearing years. And even though, you know, most of us had birthed children and were like, okay, I'm ready to move on to the next phase, there was like an inkling in many of us that still thought maybe that baby would come at 49. Maybe that last baby would come at 49. It was very interesting. We were all just like, yeah, we're kind of over that. But at the same time, what if I could have a baby right now? You know, just that one last baby. So we created a ritual where we created our what did we call them? Our little dream babies. Aww. through art. Through some form of art. Like I made a little embroidered little cloth that I stuffed with mugwort and rose petals and sage and just put it on my altar and to honor that last little like desire to be a mother again. So that was an interesting theme that I felt that kind of expected, like we all kind of laughed and, you know, cried at that that letting go of that. Yeah. And then the physical parts and pieces, you know, hot flashes and mood swings, you know, and having our partners or our children not really understand or be able to hold space for like the erratic moods, moments of rise and fall with, you know, at times anger, frustration, things that are held.
Wow. Well, that dream baby ritual sounds really beautiful. And it also kind of makes me think about the dominant culture and kind of like the worth of a woman. And so how we're kind of taught about that. And it sort of makes sense to me that, you know, pregnant and fertile women are very prominent in culture. And then it starts to feel like women become more and more invisible. Even though I feel like women beyond the childbearing years are doing so much in the world. Like they're basically running things. But in our like cultural dominant narrative, it's kind of like all maidens and young mothers and celebrities with toddlers and things like that, which, yeah, I mean, it's, we have a lot of work to do, but I love that you were able to create a space where this transition is really honored and you could see each other in it.
Yeah. And I definitely the other piece is, the body, the physical body changing. And I know for myself, from high school all the way through, you know, in and out of pregnancies into my early 40s, I kind of maintained the same weight. I mean, outside of being pregnant and birthing a child and then breastfeeding and losing weight and then somewhere in my mid 40s, that stopped happening. Like I started gaining weight and I didn't realize that it was connected to this transition. I thought, oh, you know, I have a new partner and my sleep habits have changed and I'm eating later at night and I might be sipping on a little more wine, enjoying time out together and things like that. And then I realized, wait, this is my hormonal body shifting and really making peace with my new body and my new shape. And that has definitely been a theme as well with some of the women is accepting our new bodies as they transition and hold weight differently.
Yeah, I'm curious too if there are in your mind energetic and spiritual shifts that happen. Like, do you find your priorities shifting or your focus on like what you how you want to spend your time?
It's interesting. I just had this conversation with someone this weekend and kind of gave her permission to feel this way because I didn't quite understand it either. But I have been a caretaker mother for my family, like I said, for over 25 years. And even before that, really caretaking people in my community and partners. And more recently, I have felt like I don't want to take care of especially my children. And there's like a little bit of guilt that comes with that feeling at the same time, recognizing that this is part of the transition. I'm definitely caretaking the communities I'm in. And I actually at times feel more aligned with that than the caretaking that is needed as a mother to my children. And I have, you know, two adult children. My son will be 25 and my daughter will be 23. And I also have a 12-year-old. And so he still needs his mama in the way that I don't sometimes want to participate in. And it's very interesting. I broke my ankle in March and I had to stay on my bed with a cast for some time, and my partner stepped in to do the child, you know, the commute to school for my son. And my son ended up cooking a lot of his own meals. He would come into the room and ask me, what can I make for dinner? I would share with him what ingredients there were, and he would put together his meal. And now he's somewhat fully self-sufficient in the kitchen. So I felt like that was, I laugh at that because I needed to break my ankle so I could step back and allow him to take some responsibility for his care. And it allowed me to be in this, this dance, in another way.
Yeah. I can imagine it would be so challenging when you have more than 20 years of a certain way of being to really shift that and step back and let the birds fly out of the nest and let your focus turn more toward your own self.
Yes. Yes. I've been referencing Susan Weed's book, Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way. And she talks about the Crohn's year off. Not most people don't have the luxury of taking a year off and stepping away, but even a day or a weekend or a month or even moments in the day where you get to just step away from all of the responsibilities and tend to self. So yeah, just a sweet reminder that especially this time does call for that.
That kind of makes sense to me that in stepping away or retreating or turning inward, that we increase our capacity to hold things for the collective at like a more global scale and be able to actualize things in the world once we go through that process deeply.
Yes. So when I created the group, I was still bleeding. And one of the honorings that we did also is, you know, we talked about working with our moon blood and knowing that that any time could be the last bleed. And how are we honoring our blood? And we looked at, you know, various ancestral practices and honoring our moon time, and honoring our blood. And in December of 2021, so just going right around my birthday, when I turned 49, was my last bleed. As I know right now, although I know it could come back, and or I feel like this is, I'm going to go through, and on my 50th birthday will be 1 year, and I will technically be now postmenopausal. So in that, it was very interesting because I got a birth chart reading for my birthday, and I really decided now is the time to fully step into my gifts, my powers, my wellness offerings more fully, and make the steps to transition from the job that I've had as a teacher for the last 22 years to leave that. And that came with my blood stopping. And that all simultaneously happened all together. And I just reflect on it, and I'm still in it, in this transition, but it feels very much aligned with the transition to being an elder, or as Susan Wee says, a baby crone, because I don't really feel like I've earned the title of elder by any means yet.
Yeah, that's another area that I see growing in our culture toward, I think, a healthier way, which is starting to really honor elders more. And when I say our culture, I'm just referring to like dominant American culture. Of course, many of us are lucky to be raised also in other cultures, but I've also heard quite a few folks from Indigenous communities talk about women only really stepping into their role as a medicine person in the postmenopausal time, like 50 and up, and even at 50, it is like a baby medicine person, you know? And so it brings me a lot of like hope and inspiration that like things aren't just over when when you're 50, you know, it's like actually the beginning of a very potent time.
Such a beginning. Oh my gosh. So potent. Yeah. I want to continue to honor that within myself. Like you said, I decided some years ago to let my gray hair, you know, show itself and to stop dyeing my hair and embracing my body as it's taking shape and just radiating that. And also, you know, hopefully inspiring other women to embrace that and radiate that. I inspired my sister to grow her gray hair. I even inspired my mom grow her gray hair. And so, yeah, and other women in the community were doing it along with each other. And when I see other women out, I'm like, yes. Thank you. Let's change the narrative and beauty standard.
Yeah, my mom also rocks really long, beautiful silver hair. And so that's very inspiring to me. I wanted to bring up something really interesting that I hadn't heard before. I believe the person who runs Medical Medium is the one who spoke about this in one of his books. I'm forgetting his name, but he talked about how when a woman stops bleeding, that it's almost like returning to a youthful state in the sense that when we were children, we weren't kind of like in that ebb and flow of the menstrual cycle. And so we return to that sort of steady state instead of being in the wave of the moon. And I thought that was interesting because I just hadn't heard that before. Like, oh, you know, maybe we're reconnecting with our prepubescent like spirit in some sense when we were just a being that wasn't necessarily, you know, sexual or reproductive. We were just a person and doing stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see that in older women, I say older women, in more elders, that kind of spirit of that you may have had as a child where you just went for it or to play and to follow your spirit and dressing in the way that speaks to your heart and all of these things. I see that almost kind of, like you said, kind of childlike in a way, but in the most beautiful childlike way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that. And all of this makes me think too, that it makes so much sense that if we're having initiation rites for kind of entering the world of reproduction and working with our blood, it makes so much sense that there would be an initiation rite or a process on the end of that as you transition out of it. And gosh, I just hope, yeah, more women will be able to create circles like the one that you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I have thought about how can we create an initiation or ritual or a ceremony? You know, when a mother is pregnant, she'll may have her blessing way and honoring that transition into motherhood and the birth. But this transition doesn't. I have yet to know any rituals to move into this next phase, with any elders that I have listened to and transition, like what? So yeah, I'm crafting that in my mind. Like, what would that look like? And may invite women to share in that with me for my 50th birthday. Should I not you know, bleed again? That will be the year of, you know, that they say if you're haven't bled for 12 months, then you're now transitioned to postmenopause.
Yeah, I could imagine it would be so powerful to be honored for what you have like given and nurtured in the childbearing years, and then be recognized and maybe mirrored for the gifts that people see are emerging or blooming out of you, like for this next phase. And it's just, to me, it's so important in our culture for people to be truly seen on a spirit or a soul level. And it can be so rare. So,
yeah, I'm thinking of, and I just keep popping back to, again, the elders that I learned from, Queen Afua being one of them. I think you, did you have her on?
I did.
The
yes.
Show? Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I'm just like, you are an elder and I know you went through this transition, but yeah. It's, I think she has maybe three sentences in her book, Sacred Woman, about, you know, menopause. And so I'm just like, what was your journey? You know? And I know, of course, you know, food, you know, your diet, your self-care practices, all the herbal allies, you know, keeping a sacred container. I know in her moving through the gateways and holding the altar, all of that can support this transition for sure. And the body still is going to do what the body does. And the hot flashes and the mood swings and fluctuations in libido and all of those things are still happening. And I would love for her to share her story of that.
Yeah. And I'm curious, I mean, for those who are listening here, if there are any self-care practices or herbal allies that you've found to be helpful on your path, maybe that could inspire some folks.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. well, definitely the herbal support has come for me, and I know everyone has theirs that they find support with, but one is motherwort, and I had... was this in 2018? My family and I converted our grass front yard into a medicinal pollinator garden. Mm-hmm. And one of the plants that we planted was motherwort, just one plant. And it started to flower. And I reached out to my friend, herbalist friend, who also was the director of a garden here in Oakland. And she said, you should, you know, cut back your motherwort and make a tincture. So I said, okay, but I didn't know anything about what the motherwort offered. So I made the tincture and it actually sat in, I made the tincture, let it sit, strained it off. And I kept it in my fridge for a long time and made a motherwort oil. And then in the last year, that tincture has become my medicine. Every time I have a hot flash or a surge, I will dose myself with the motherwort. I keep it by my bed. So even, again, in Susan Weed's book, she says, if you wake up in the middle of the night with a hot flash, just take a few drops of motherwort. And it will support you. And so since making that, and again, I didn't know why I made it and how I would really benefit from it, I have used this, and it's just a small 16-ounce jar of tincture that I continue to fill bottles with for myself, my sister, and my daughter has taken it at times. So I just really want to acknowledge that if we grow plants and make tinctures medicine for our family, you know, that 16-ounce bottle it continues to last. And like I said, I have been really leaning on that a lot lately and taking it throughout the day and at times at night. So yeah, that's one. And then herbal infusions of red clover and oat straw, tea infusions have been amazing. And, I've also danced a little bit with, lemon balm and hibiscus as well. And I've also, over the last, few years, I've done two plant dietas, month-long plant dietas, where I go much deeper with one particular plant and, you know, taken through a ceremony, the spirit of the plant is breathed into me. And then I work with that plant every day and listen to what it has to offer. I take it in, ingest it in all the ways that maybe the plant starts to advise. And one that I worked with in 2019 was mugwort. And right now I'm working with rose. And I feel like both of those are really amazing allies for this shift and the feminine and the moon and all of the connections that these both of these plants have.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, I got chills again when you said mugwort and rose. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so powerful. Those are great tips. And of course, you know, listeners, see what feels right for your body and your spirit, but those might be some great places to start and feel into if it seems helpful to you. And yeah, in terms of self-care, I mean, are there particular movements or meditations, or I'm just so curious, like, yeah, what's supportive to you?
Yeah, I would definitely, I mean, yoga has been an amazing, really through my whole, I think I started doing yoga when I was pregnant with my son, with my first son. So over 25 years ago, I started doing yoga, and yoga has continued to be a practice that has, you know, brought me into my body, helped navigate intense emotions, helped to calm my nervous system. And when I have a consistent practice of yoga, I feel amazing in my body, whatever size or shape I'm taking form. But I will say that I mentioned I broke my ankle in March. I have not been on my mat. And that was, I was just entering the 21-day raw food cleanse that I facilitate, and all the self-care practices that I'm used to, taking walks in nature, yoga, sauna, Epsom salt baths, all of that fell by the wayside because I had a cast on my leg and crutches, and I couldn't do those things. So somehow I managed to see my way through it with a lot of grace and still felt very cared for. One practice that I started at the beginning of the year is body oiling or with herbal oils. I started this woman, she made some amazing chocolates, and she had some herbal oils that I bought a collection from her, Wild Omen. And I don't know her name right now in this moment, but her on Instagram, it's Wild Omen. And I had bought this collection of herbal oils, sagebrush, yarrow, and I want to say it was blue violet. So I started doing herbal oil massage. So when I broke my ankle, that became my ritual every single day after my showers, to just sit and rub myself from head to toe with herbal oils, also flower essences. I have been working with flower essences consistently, probably for the last 6 or 7 years, and those have just become my saving grace through every and all transitions and integrations of, you know, big work that I do in plant medicine ceremonies. And there's two that are speaking for this transition. One is one that I made. It's a pink magnolia and rose quartz flower essence that I named Wisdom Body. And it definitely helps connect us to our matrilineal lineage, and also to to surrender and integrate the shift of one life stage to another, from maiden or mother to crone, from menstruation to menopause. And then the other one is the Woman of Wisdom formula from a company called Desert Alchemy. They are a company in Tucson. I think it's Tucson, Arizona. I should know. I just completed their coursework. Our last class was yesterday, but the Woman of Wisdom formula, that one has been amazing through this shift over the last, especially over the last few months.
They sound so beautiful. And I'll make sure to link to all these things that you're mentioning in the show page.
If I continue to mention it, because it has become a reference book that I use so much, is Susan Weed's Menopausal Years book. All of these herbs that I spoke of, I'm pretty sure she speaks about all of them. She doesn't talk about flower essences, but the herbal allies. And what's beautiful is if you haven't looked at her books, she gives it's like stage zero to stage five. And she gives you, you know, say it's addressing hot flashes. You can do nothing. You can shift your diet. And then the next stage might be some gentle herbal allies. The next stage might be more aggressive ones. And then there's the last stage, which she calls break and enter, which is going to Western medicine and doing something that maybe a doctor would prescribe, hormone replacement or something like that. But what's beautiful is there's all these options laid out, and then you can find what works for you, for your body, and it's information so that you can make the best decision for your own body. What works for one person may not work for the other person, and someone may need more support in some area than another.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, we have just a little bit of time left, and I'm wondering if there have been any surprises or things that you didn't expect that have come up in this process or within the circle that you've been holding space for.
Yeah. I mean, again, I just really feel this conversation isn't happening enough. Mm-hmm. It just continues to rear up, and women are eager for it. Every single woman that I talk to is eager for these conversations, thirsty for information, thirsty for validation, thirsty for a space to share and learn and grow. I just continue to see it. And a lot of, especially through COVID, I've seen a lot of women my age sharing different things that they're going through, and I'm kind of like reading all of it, and I'm like, this is perimenopause, but everyone's now calling it COVID, you know, pandemic, or kind of like the just different symptoms. It's so interesting. And I'm like, for at least for the women that are in my age group, a lot of the quote symptoms that they're sharing, they're attributing to, you know, being at home in the pandemic and everything. And I'm like, yes. And it's also simultaneously happening as you move through perimenopause. So let's maybe it's that. It's so like weight gain and brain fog and things like that. And yeah, it's just been a funny revelation. I'm just like, okay, and I think it's perimenopause too. but again, we don't really talk about it too much. I have met women who feel really frustrated these things that I'm talking about have never been shared with them, and that they wish they had that, or they still might be in it and are angry that, you know, their doctor or their community never prepared them.
Yeah, and I think we come by it really honestly because as I was doing some research into the history of how menopause has been framed in dominant American culture again, I even found quotes where doctors, male doctors, of course, would say that the end of menstruation is the end of a woman functionally being a woman. So I can imagine that that's something that a woman would want to hide and not acknowledge because what does that say about her femininity? And if that's so emphasized as being what you want to be in the culture, right? It's like scary to even admit that you're beyond that phase. And what does that mean for who you are and your role in the world? And oh, it's so complicated. We have a lot to kind of shed and reframe and do away with.
Let's unravel all of that. And it's because again, I'm surrounded by women who are stepping. I think this is the time that this time is calling for women to step up and to step out and to own their gifts in all of its layers openly, because this is what is needed for this big shift that we're in. And and many of them, at least in my community, are women of age that are also going through this transition. And some of them are in their 20s, like my daughter, and her cohort of young women, and women who are moving into their 30s and into their 40s and into their 50s. I'm seeing it across, spanning across, but it definitely doesn't end after menstruation.
Yeah. And I've also heard from some friends who are entering this phase, they feel, I get the sense they feel a bit guilty or ashamed for the very strong and fierce feelings that they're having about the world or about, what's happening collectively. And to me, I'm like, we need that voice. We need the fierce voice, the grandmothers, the aunties, the women who've just been working their whole lives, and like we need to hear from them because they're not ready to take any more crap. Like they're like, absolutely not. We need to step up and do something.
Yeah. Unapologetically, I feel like that's how we need to step into this phase.
And it may not be pretty and it may not be as graceful as we would like, and it may be a shock to our loved ones, right? Like, whoa, okay, what's this like attitude? Like, this attitude is the we're not taking this anymore.
Yes. I did want to share one other thing, one other practice that I've been doing that coincided right with my last bleed and coming into this year, 2022, I started doing this, this moon work. And I feel like it's again, my moon blood and the moon work I was doing with my blood was kind of just beautifully and synchronistically replaced by this moon work and with this woman. She's an astrologer. Her name is Monique Ruffin. You could find her on Instagram or YouTube or Mighty Network. She leads, it's called the 13 Moon Harnessing Everyday Practical Magic. And we move through each month we move through 9 phases of the moon, and within each phase we do various rituals and ask certain questions and dive a little deeper into self-inquiry and observation and gathering what messages are coming from spirit. And again, I've been doing this work since January, and it just like almost like swept in and replaced the moon work that I was doing, like I said, with my own moon cycle, my own blood, to do this monthly moon work.
That sounds so beautiful because even if we're not waxing and waning in our physical selves, we can still be working with the moon, with the seasons, with the cycles. That doesn't end.
Yes. I think we both agree that this is not an ending to anything. Yeah, I feel like gathering with other women is really important. And just going back to being a 70s baby, and my mom was in mother circles and sister circles, and continuing these circles into this transition can be extremely supportive. I am working on crafting that space to the larger community. Right now, it's been within my immediate sister circle, and hopefully we'll also have some type of maybe guide or maybe a workbook or something that people can work with if they want to create their own circles.
Ooh, that would be so beautiful. Well, for those who are listening who'd like to find out more about your work, where can we find you online? And yeah, what are you offering at the moment?
You can find me on Instagram at holistic with a WH _ shine or Uchu Botanical. So I have wellness offerings that include 21-day seasonal, 21-day raw food detox journeys. And it may sound, wow, raw food for 21 days, but I have had people join that don't do raw food because it doesn't fit their constitution or what their body needs at the time. But it's still a beautiful journey of holding a beautiful container for people to dive into better self-care through this 21-day time, and hopefully adopting some new practices to support the physical and spiritual and emotional well-being. I also have my Uchu Botanical herbal offerings, which include a beautiful collection of flower essences and hydrosol mists that I make here in my kitchen healing laboratory with my copper still, and a few other things. Let's see. Like I said, my intention and my work right now is to create a way to share this, this dancing, the in-between circle, or the information for other women to have an opportunity to learn with each other and grow and share to support this transition, this next transition in our lives as women.
Thank you so much, Tomo. It's been an honor to hear about your perspective and your wisdom. Thank you for sharing. And yeah, I just look forward to continuing to follow your work and on see all the beautiful things that you'll be doing in the world.
Thank you so much for having me. And I am excited to see how this conversation to honor this time unfolds through your podcast, because I know this is hopefully one of many that we can all resource and learn from.
Yes, yes. May there be many more conversations and tools and resources shared for this topic.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the show. I want to let you know that Tomo has offered Moonwise listeners $5 off the Uchu Botanical Wisdom Body Pink Magnolia Rose Quartz Essence that she mentions in this episode. Just mention Moonwise when you email Tomo to purchase at holisticshine@gmail.com. I will also put that information on the show page so you can make sure you're sending it to the right email. You can hear more episodes on moonwise.co or subscribe to the Moonwise podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts and get a shout out on the show. Reviews help others find the podcast, and I read each and every one. Thank you so much for your support. Our theme music is Butterflies March from Sophie Cooper's album, Rewilding. See you next time.